I'd like to. Is that the about closed session?
Yes, we're going to make the report out of closed session, and then you'll vote to close that meeting and then start.
So that's
okay. I'd like to bring to order the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors, and this is Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. First, we are going to handle the item from closed session, and that was it's continued from adjournment of April 26, 2023. Items 14A and 15.
Item 14A was a report out of closed session. There was no reportable action taken in closed session from that date.
And then adjournment.
And then they get to vote to close.
I move we adjourn the meeting of April 26.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second. First and the second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Okay.
That concludes the meeting from April 26th.
Correct. Okay, and so we're back to the May 10th agenda. Call to order. And now can we have the roll call, please?
Director Joyce Senison, absent. Director Varney?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Vice President Gibson?
Here.
And President Villa, absent.
Okay, flag salute. Heart over hand, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to have a moment of silence in observance of this week is National Peace Officers Memorial Week, and we take the time to honor and remember and pay homage to those who gave their lives in the line of duty. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda review. Does anybody want to make any changes of the agenda?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, now we will have public comment, and this is for items that are not on the agenda. So if you have any comments, you can come forward and speak at this time. And we need to remember that the board cannot have a back and forth conversation, and if there are questions, Mr. Clemens will try to answer those. Okay, so I have Carrie Langford.
Good evening. Sad to see that we don't have a whole lot of people here. My name is Carrie Langford, and I've lived here. Mr. Varney, you said that you've lived here for 27 years. I got your long beat. Anyway, and I live just a couple blocks up here, and I used to be fairly active coming down here all the time for the board meetings. And it's sort of sad.
Excuse me, can we have quiet in the back, please?
We can't hear you, so that was my question. Can you speak a little closer to the microphone?
I don't know if that mic's on. Is it on?
Yes, I can speak there, if that's better.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to announce air shows for 15 years, and so I'm really good on good with microphone and talking. But anyway, so I've lived here for over 37 years, and I've been in the building business for that long when I came. And anyway, so I've had quite a dealing with public and with city governments, everything from Santa Maria clear up to Paso Robles. Anyway, I want to comment and commend the board for their action last week is basically what I'm talking about in regards to Grover Beach and Oceano joining. I'm surprised, sir, that you would say there you've been here this long and that you would still bring this back up or entertain this motion or idea. I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon, but you have to direct your comments to the whole board.
Okay, and I'm yes, because I can recall at least three times that this has come up in the past, and each time Oceano basically said no, they were not in favor of it at all, and I commend the board for that decision. I think it's a wise decision. I think the people of Oceano want to stay that way and work with the county. Yes, the county can do more, but again, they, just like you, are under a budget, and they got a lot of people to listen to and that want things done. I'm sorry about the open mic and the comments made. I think that was, we've probably all done that before too, but not quite so publicly. I think an apology should come from that person. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Langford.
Please do not allow the audience to burst out in applause. That's how it started 2 weeks ago.
Okay, can we have the next public comment?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to, since your board recently took some action or investigated how to make comments on political issues, I'd like you to look at a project, and that project being the offshore wind and the use of Port San Luis as support services for the windmills in out in the ocean. What I would direct you to an opinion piece that I wrote that was published in Cal Coast News. It's titled "Offshore Wind Projects Bring Gale Force Concerns," and the piece is short, and I can't go to every single subject or facet of the project, but what it does have is a link to this document. It's called Central Coast Emerging Industries Waterfront Siting and Infrastructure Study. When you read through it, they call it a feasibility study. I call it a fine screening because it really does focus on Port San Luis as being the major hub for support for these windmills offshore. But what you don't know until you get to the very end and read the supporting documentation, the reference documents, there's a study that's called Building a Thriving Space Enterprise on the Central Coast of California, Commercial Space Master Plan, Vandenberg Space Force Base. And their interest is having the same support for the wind be a place that they can tow in their rockets or whatever they do to back up their service, what they do over there. So we don't hear about that's part of the push to have it in Port San Luis. And the other reference document is called Underwater Blasting. Nobody likes to be blasted. No one wants to hear a blast, feel a blast, be hit by shrapnel. But this will go on in Port San Luis should they build this enormous wharf. It's an 80-acre wharf. And for perspective, I use the community of San Simeon. The whole community is 100 acres. This structure will be 80 acres to support giant cranes and giant industry. And I'd like, if you have a chance, I'd love for your board to come up with a letter and send it to the Senate. There's several bills going through to expedite that. But if you just personally read this and write your own letters, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment?
Hello, my name is Jennifer Roques. I'm an Oceano resident and business owner, and I'm on the board of the Vitality Advisory Council of Oceano, VACO, speaking on my own behalf. Last night, Mr. Varney gave public comment at our meeting and stated some disparaging information about VACO while singling me out about a petition that was distributed around town by a group of concerned citizens against the annexation discussions. In fact, VACO
Jennifer,
had nothing
can you
to do.
Hold 1 minute. Chase, is there any question here? She can continue?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
In fact, VACO had nothing to do with the petition, and the 265 people that signed that petition didn't need any more information to know that they don't want to be Grover Beach. I want to put it on record that Mr. Varney is a master at manipulating the truth and is constantly spreading lies around our community, and especially through his next-door posts and his opinion pieces in the media. His remarks from that last meeting calling our fellow Oceana residents know-nothings on his next-door post is a huge insult to our community and those that attended the standing-room-only meeting. His name-calling is rude and inappropriate for an elected official. His behavioral patterns are well documented. He not only spreads misinformation around our town, but continually attacks and antagonizes our board members at our VACO meetings. He has shown his damaging behavior when he was the chair of the now disbanded Oceana Advisory Council, and I find it very concerning that he has attacked members of your board, and most recently your president, after she voted against pursuing a feasibility study of annexation. It now appears that he is continuing his destructive nature here at the OCSD. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Gina. As Mr. Varney would refer to as a know-nothing of Oceano. This really hit my heart when I heard this or read this. My dad is a resident of Oceano. He is a retired Vietnam vet that fought for our country. And I believe that his vote and his words should be able to stand up as a citizen of Oceano without being ridiculed or put down by another person, especially somebody that serves on a board for the community. So with that, when finding that Varney would be put on this board, there was a lot of concern, and it really had me wondering what would happen. And it was scary for the community, well, or scary for me anyways, and this is exactly why my dad did not deserve to be called a know-nothing as a citizen of Oceano that has served our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to special presentations and reports. And Commander Scott.
Good evening, board and community. I'll be providing a report that encompasses April 1st through April 30th. We had 342 calls for service. The previous year, we had 440. And what I'm seeing is after COVID and enforcement being reinstituted, we addressed a lot of issues. So the calls are going down, arrests are going down, and I think that's a good sign. So continuing on, assault and batteries, we had three misdemeanors, and they were domestic violence type batteries, disturbance calls, 34, which encompass noise, arguing, yelling, etc. One burglary, and that was a residential burglary. We had one grand theft, or correction, two grand thefts, and two misdemeanor, which are petty thefts. For vandalisms, four, which pertain to vehicle, mailboxes, and a house. And mail theft, one. And that's huge because that really contributes to identity theft. So we're working on keeping that down. And having one, I think, is a good sign. We had 35 assist of the agencies, suspicious circumstances, total of six, just the overall arching umbrella of that. But we also had five suspicious subject calls and 2 suspicious vehicle calls. We made 30 enforcement stops. Last year, that was way up again, but I think it's being caught on that we are here. And we had 1 Narcan use, and I wanted to talk about that for a moment. Our 2 deputies responded to a female down. When they arrived, she had no vitals and wasn't breathing, so one of them began CPR, the other ran to the car, brought back Narcan. They gave her a dose. It didn't take effect. Continued CPR, gave her a 2nd dose, continued CPR, and then she came around. So without their efforts, paramedics weren't there, and it was them that definitely helped save her life. We had 15 arrests prior. We were having way more of those, but I think we're being effective in keeping some of the bad guys off the street, or at least not in this area. On April 6th, we had an individual that was causing a disturbance, and he ultimately grabbed a weapon and fired a round in his backyard into the air. And we responded. He barricaded, basically, and then one of our sergeants was able to talk him out of the residence. That took about 30 minutes. We served him with a gun violence restraining order and ultimately an actual warrant. Took him into custody and took all of his weapons as well. Another incident that happened here 2 days ago, Riverside had a murder, and can't get into the full details of that, but it involved several suspects. One of them fled, came here. Our detectives got wind of it, did what they do, and we ended up taking him into custody and turned him over to Riverside. So we've been busy keeping you guys safe as we can. All right.
No clapping, please. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
So I don't see Chief Lieberman, so we'll move on to Utility System Manager, Tony.
Good evening, Board. Tony Marincino, Utility Systems Manager. So as you know, Lopez is still over 100% full. We had 0 sewer system overflows for the month of April. We are not taking state water, just Lopez. And we have stopped pumping the beginning of this month. We're still continuing with weekly and monthly samples, 8 work orders, 21 USAs due to all the construction that's happening, 7 customer service calls, 1 after hours call out for an unlock. We're really focusing on sewer jetting and hydrant maintenance. Still picking up trash. We had 4 311 tickets, first of the month equipment startups, and we inspected and cleaned the sewer lateral hotspots. And we had 2 employees attend the Kids Day Community Resources Fair at the Boys and Girls Club. And that went really well. Took a backhoe and some gifts for the kids. And it went really well. Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks, Tony. I would say your last name, but I don't know. I can't do it. Okay, our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Thank you. So we continue to meet with various tribes relating to cultural resources, relating to our CIP upgrade project, the environmental process. So so far we've met with 4 separate tribes to discuss monitoring during construction. We've also been working on an updated MOU with our union. We expect to bring back an updated MOU to your board either next meeting or the first meeting in June, and that would go into effect July 1st. The State Water Subcontractors Committee met last Friday. And we discussed groundwater banking opportunities. With the wet winter, all of our
stored water in Lopez and in San Luis Reservoir spilled. So we want to start looking at groundwater banking opportunities where you would basically deliver water to a bank, store it, and then in dry years have the ability to bring it back out, and that would help to reduce the possibility of spilling from our surface reservoirs. But that's just in the initial stages. They've formed a subgroup to investigate these types of issues further, and I volunteered to be on that subgroup. So more to come in the future on that. We're also working on our water shortage contingency plan. We don't have a water shortage now, and actually we never have in our district, but it's a requirement of SB 552, so we have to have that completed by the end of June. So we hope to bring that also to your board either next meeting or the first meeting in June. And that's the end of my report.
Can you give the name of the four tribes?
No. There's one that has a bunch of consonants, and I would not say it correctly.
Okay.
So which the capital improvement projects, which ones are those?
So those are all of the ones that we have identified in our 2019 CIP program.
What is the CIP?
Capital Improvement Program.
Okay.
So basically
it's our new water lines.
Our new water lines throughout the community. There's probably 35 different sections of pipe that we'll be replacing.
And that's the $3 million that Congressman Carbajal has recommended. What is the status of that, or what are the next steps before that is finally approved?
So the way I understand it is the congressman submits his list to Congress, and it's up to Congress to actually put it in the budget, and the federal budget begins in October. So hopefully we'll know whether it makes it into the budget by then. And then if it makes it into the budget, it would be funneled through the USDA program, so we would submit an application for funding through them, and that grant would be part of the funding package.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll move to our legal counsel, Mr. Martin.
Good evening. This is actually I'll make it short, but I saw an opportunity and kind of building on providing primers to the board here and there, like we did when we discussed board advocacy. I thought it would be worthwhile to do the same regarding use of social media by board members. I didn't get the chance to deliver or work on a Brown Act presentation or training with you folks. Mr. Minery did that not too long ago, but there are some changes and some updates in the law regarding comments and use of social media by board members. And somewhat in response to item number 10 on tonight's agenda, I thought it would be worthwhile just to send a brief that was targeting the question of board members' use of social media and Brown Act implications thereof. So the memo largely speaks for itself. And in general, you know, I would prefer to do these in ways that I could catch any kind of potential violation before it happens. But you know, as these things come up, I thought it would be worthwhile for me to try to give you documents that you can rely on, revisit, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not on Nextdoor, so I don't actually know how that social media application works. But there is a substantial risk of a serial meeting occurring when board members comment on one another's posts. And it's clear, and I think we try to say this in the media, in the memo, and I do want to thank a new attorney who's working for our firm. His name is Daniel Chung. He helped me prepare this memo for you folks, and I did a really good job. And what we discussed, and I think this is the important thing to know, is that there's no prohibition from using social media. I think it's a powerful tool for public leaders to engage with the constituents. The concern is the discussion amongst one another on social media. So even things as seemingly innocuous as a thumbs up or an emoji can result in a potential Brown Act violation. So at the end of the memo, we give you some pointers, mostly just to keep your comments on social media related to answering questions from the public, posing questions to the public, engaging with the public, and to try as best as possible to limit interaction with one another and save those interactions for these public meetings so that the public can come and see and get the benefit of seeing your discussion on various items, no matter what they are. That's really all. Pay particular attention if you want to some homework. AB 992 is the new update on how board members could benefit from using social media, but also contain the new laws regarding use of social media and potential Brown Act violations.
Well, very good.
That's it.
Thank you very much. Just trying
to be helpful.
Yeah, help. I think you're right, and I'm going to change my wayward ways.
I have a question.
No comment.
Can you the question is, can you send us the this legislation that you want us to look at?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we'll move on to directors, Board of Directors outside committee reports. I have nothing to share. Director Austin?
I just have a real quick report from the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District from our last meeting, and regards to the redundancy program, we thought would be finished the mid-July, is now going to be moved out a few months due to supply chain delays, so they're pretty disappointed in that, but we don't know what the fiscal damage will be. We'll know that next week, but there's just some materials that they're not able to get right now, so hopefully that'll take care of itself in the near future. But they thought it would be like at least a cup, maybe into September before that project's finished. And everything else is running just fine at the plant. So that's all.
Okay. Director Varney?
Okay, I have a report on the first meeting of the Oceano Parks and Recreation Committee. We met on Friday, April 28th. At the Oceana Community Center building. The people present were Ray Monson, Ernie Gomez, Rebecca Britton, Jasmine Cazara, Bruce Hinton, Andy Stenson, and Beverly Sunnison, and myself. Mr. Gomez is a retired principal of adult education in the CMR School District. Rebecca Britton is the executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs here. Jasmine Cazara is a assistant at the Boys and Girls Club. Bruce Hinton is Supervisor Paul Dean's commissioner on the County Parks Commission. Andy Stenson is the director of facilities for the CMR School District, and Director Sunnison and myself are obviously directors of the OCSD. We did do a minor modification to the mission statement, which we added the word safe so that it reads to provide safe recreational access, infrastructure, and programs which enhance the physical, emotional, social health, and quality of life for all Oceano residents. We, in discussing major needs in terms of moving forward with parks and recreation in the community. The major thing that everybody brought up was it was important to have a staff person assigned to this. So we're recommending that we're going to develop a job description, and we'll be seeking funding for a position of up to 20 hours a week for 23-24. And there's one more thing. We're looking at, although the timeline is short, a summer sports program, probably focusing on peewee soccer camps at the ocean, at the community center, and we're reaching out to the youth soccer organization here in South County. We also have agreed that we'll be meeting regularly the first Tuesday of each month, 1 p.m. at the Oceano Community Center, and the next meeting is June 6th. At our meeting 2 weeks ago, I was very concerned about the lack of civility demonstrated by the audience, the bullying of people, the talking over people who had a different point of view. I think it was an organized presence. It was here for exactly that purpose. According to our minutes, 8 people spoke against the merger. 5 people spoke in favor of getting more information for the community and for themselves. And there were a number of people in the audience who wanted to get more information or have a more positive attitude towards a merger that decided they were not going to speak because they did not want to be bullied. This bullying continued during the break when our supervisor, Jimmy Paulding, stepped out into the parking lot, and a group of people who were in this meeting said, "Hey, F you, Paulding. Get the effing out of Oceano. We don't want you here." Those are 3 different comments. And then other people joining in, yeah, Paulding. Is that really what you want to be demonstrating as the representation for people that don't want a merger, don't even want to talk about it, don't even want to gather information about it? I'm a scientist. I'm trained as a scientist. I focus on facts. And that is what I'm known for in this community. That's my, that's how I roll. And if you do not believe that what I'm stating is factual, then I'm absolutely happy to have a discussion about that. The term know-nothings is a historical reference to a group of people that did not want any information about anything that they didn't agree with. And I thought it was a term that applied to what I heard a lot of in the meeting. The fact is, as best I can tell, a majority of people in Oceano want more information about a merger. A going out with a trumped up survey that tells Latinos that if there's a merger, they're going to have their property taxes raised, their apartment rents are going to raise, they're not going to have water, little scare tactics. As I said at the VACO meeting last night, and I'll say it here again, those are deplorable, those are manipulative, those are unfair, and they don't respect the people that you are talking to because you're not giving them accurate information. You're only giving them opinion, and you're attempting to scare them into signing a petition. The notion of cityhood for Oceano is not going to go away. There are people who want factual information, who feel in a democracy they deserve factual information, and they're going to be organizing to gather that information, and that will be shared around the community. Now, you can, you know, you can engage with it, you can challenge it, you can bring up your own information that contradicts it. I mean, that's how civil discussion happens in a democracy. I apologize to your father if he was offended by my referring to making the term, that using that term, know-nothings. It was not directed at persons individually, but my characterization of what I saw as a collective mentality and a dangerous one, actually, in terms of what happened out in the, out there. So with that, I'll end my comments. Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll have public comment on special presentations and reports.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And I was very interested in Mr. Martin's report, but I think I was more interested in how he got there. And I guess my question is, he took the opportunity to inform you of this, which means he's billing. And if you didn't direct him to do it, I don't think you should have to pay the bill. Unless this work is used for all of the other districts that Adamski manages their legal services. There's 10 or 11 that you could spread the cost of this over. So that just concerned me because it is a lot of work went into that. It's well done. But I don't think anyone directed it. And I don't think Mr. Oakes should be triggering a bill. And if Mr. Oakes' writings actually triggered it, what I would have thought you might do is advise your board on the process of censure or the mechanism for expulsion, because neither of those are allowed in this district. And I don't know that I have to remind you about censure and what that did to your communities when Jim Hill was censured from the Sand District and the city of Arroyo Grande, and what great expense went into that and the divisiveness that it brought. That was quite awful, actually. And then to have expulsion, only the voters can do that to a board member through a recall. The only way off this board is to be recalled, resign, or pass away.
Okay, next person.
I don't know if this is quite apropos or not, but sir, I do have several degrees in agriculture, and I've done a lot of research myself. And you will find pros, cons. You will find what you believe in and what you don't believe in all your research. So when I did my thesis, I had a lot to read and a lot to go through. So I respect your position and what you've been in the past or what you've researched in the past, but that does not have a bearing, I believe, on what transpired 2 weeks ago. And I am really appalled that you should talk about the way that Dr. Paulding, or Mr. Paulding, was addressed when your friend on your open mic was also using the F words. So, thank you. I'm sorry, one other question, though. You did state in your comment that you had done a grant writing or was doing a grant writing for the county, and they at first accepted your proposal to do the writing, and then a couple years after your hard work, and I've been around grant writing, so I know it takes a lot of work and all, and then they shut you down, and I'm sure that it was sort of a blow to the ego. Could that have any bearing on why you want to, or do you want to sort of get it to the county for any reason? Thank you.
Okay, the next person. No one else? Okay, we'll move on to consent agenda items, and first we'll start with public comment. And they are review the minutes, review cash disbursements, and receiving the NCMA report. Okay, does the board have any discussion?
I have questions on the cash disbursements and the Northern Counties Management Report.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Carrie, I've got questions. This is just because I don't know what the warrants reference. This is reference. This first one is 6194. It's for, oh, this is, yes, this is for the, for our council. It's $5,000. And I just thought this would be a good opportunity for me to get information on how is Mr. Martin's time billed. Do we have a retainer or do we pay hourly? That's what I'd like to know.
We have a contract that pays hourly.
Okay.
For services performed.
What is the hourly rate?
$250.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. The next one is number 6202. It's for Andrew Dyra, $8,500 for professional services.
So yes, that is for EV charging stations work that's being done for our back parking lot and for our facilities, a potential EV station with a grant.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Like where you can plug your car in, electric cars.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the $8,500 is for that equipment or for this man to do write
plans,
a grant?
Yeah, the plans that would apply to a grant.
Okay. So was that ever brought to the board for discussion?
No, his contract is under the general manager's authority.
Okay. The next one is 6208. This is for, I think, Michael Davis, $3,500, fixed asset office.
So the improvements that were done to the windows, we have a new customer service window, a formal one, not the old one that everyone probably remembers from COVID. And then we also have glass through the front, so the lobby is open.
Okay, so that was up for that work.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And then the 6215, it's a digital deployment for about $3,000. Is that the upgrade of the website and the new website that we're getting?
Yes, that's through Streamline. So if this would have kept printing, the DBA is Streamline, and that's who's going to host our new website.
All right, great.
Yes. Okay,
thank you for that. I did read over the North County Management's report, and There was a couple of things that I was interested in, Mr. Clemens. Let me scroll down here to get to it. It's quite a lengthy article. The basic one is this is around the whole notion of the safe yield of groundwater for us. And I know that we contractually have, I think, is it 9,000 or 9,500 acre feet? But it seems as, you know, the way it really works in the real world is that we're really constrained around using that groundwater because it, and especially when our other two sources are not available due to drought, being Lopez and State Water, when we look at on paper, oh, we've got 9,000 acre feet of water, but presumably we cannot really pump that without severely threatening the basin with saltwater intrusion. So my question, I mean, this isn't a question to you personally per se, but really to the whole kind of the agreement, how can we really be literally saying we've got 9,000 acre feet when in reality we can only pump a very small percentage of it without putting the groundwater basin at risk?
Yeah, you're thinking correctly. That's a good question, and that's why we monitor the basin regularly so that we know in general what the health of the basin is in any given year, and we can adjust our pumping to meet that. Right. The good news now is after this winter, you know, before we were below the deep well index of 7.5 feet, which says, you know, be cautious, it's getting low, and now it's rebounded a couple feet above that. So, you know, it goes ebbs and flows, and we've never wanted to pump more than the basin would allow us since I've been here. I don't know how it was in the past, but I think a more concern that I would have is physically we don't have the capacity to pump that amount of water. We would need to drill more wells, which is, you know, doable. And I think a good strategy for us in the future is seeking out grant funding to drill more wells so that we do have more capacity to pump if we were to need it in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
It's 900,
yeah. Yeah, not 9,000.
I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
First and a second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, now we go to business items. Should we take public comment first?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then we'll discuss the items and then have public comment. And this is a review of the district budget as of March 31, 2023.
Hmm.
Review, President Gibson.
Excuse me, is it in focus or is it my eyes?
It's,
there, that's better.
All right. Vice President Gibson, members of the board, thank you. In item 8A, we have the third quarter budget review. So good news is we have no budget adjustments proposed for this item after reviewing. And the normal front-loaded expenses are the ones we have listed in your staff letter. And just a reminder, those are the expenses that we pay at the beginning of the year that remain the same. It's just they look high because of the timing. Then we have a couple specific items that we pulled out in the staff letter that look like they're running high, but they're expected to level off by the end of the fiscal year. One of those are in the lighting fund, and that's our operational supplies. So staff ended up replacing a pole that was hit by a car. Then we also replaced a bunch of sensors, lights, and the globes on various poles. So that looks high, but that's just because we've been working hard on fixing the poles. Another item is in the water fund. So it's maintenance on equipment. That's because well number 8's motor, it was reassembled, and then staff ended up placing a power reader on the motor to track the power surges. So that increased the cost there. And we also had to replace a clay valve that controls the rate of flow on the storage tank. So you'll see that on fixed assets in the water fund as running high, and we normally don't have to replace that. So that was replaced this year. And then in the water fund, the equipment maintenance and the leased equipment, those line items look high. That's because the sewer jetter, a hose suction had to be replaced, and the staff rented a vacuum trailer in the meantime so that they could continue to sewer jet. So those are the items I pulled in the staff letter, and I just wanted to go over them quickly, and then we can jump into each fund. And let me know if you want me to stop at any moment, but or any time. But I'll start with the administration fund. Okay, so this is where we collect our property taxes, and they're estimated to be higher than budgeted based on the county's estimated revenues and assessed values. And we got that from the county assessor's office. They're always able to give us an estimate on our year end and next year that we'll use in our upcoming budget. So they are expected to come in higher. You can see that there with the $79,000. Expenditures in the administration fund. So those are tracking much less than budgeted, as you can see in the net variance there. But you can see these savings, they'll be funded to the each other fund. So through the fire fund, lighting fund, facilities fund, water fund, all of those will get the admin allocation. So any savings you see here is then passed on to those funds. And that, I know, I think has come up. People asked about what the admin allocation is. And I just wanted to remind everybody. So all the expenses in our administration fund are passed to our fire fund by 3%, lighting fund 1%, facilities fund 2%, water fund 60%, sewer fund 30%, and then our garbage fund 4%. So any savings there will be passed to all of our general fund and enterprise funds. So the next fund we have is our fire fund in the general fund. You can see here we have a savings of $10,286. A lot of it was in utilities. It could be because the fire station is only staffed 2 times a week, not what we were used to, so we have a savings in utilities in the fire fund. Lighting fund, we have a savings of $3,473. We also had a savings in utilities there with our PG&E bills, and they helped cover the operating supplies that I spoke about earlier with the replacement of the light poles, sensors, and bulbs. So we're still under budget there. Our last fund in the general fund is the facilities fund. You can see here we look like we're under budget with revenues, and this is because the district's only received about $2,800 in public facilities fees. And we were projected to get $15,000, which is our normal projection every year, and just looks like we're under. And just know that public facilities fees are passed to us from the county, and it's based on development. So there just hasn't been as much development as the past. And you'll see that in the budget that we present next meeting for fiscal year 2023-24. You can see the past and what it's been. It's been up to 20, down to 15, 10, so it varies. So our first enterprise fund is our water fund. So far we have collected 5 of the 6 billing cycles, And based on projections, you can see we're under budget by $128,000. And as we all know, we had a very wet winter, and consumption dropped drastically, and it's probably going to be the same for our last one as well. So a closer detail to how we are actually collecting versus seasonally what we expected can be seen on page 53. We have a graph there that can show, basically shows back to 2019, what we expected versus what we actually collected. So we'll see our next billing cycle at the end of May and how much consumption has dropped, or if it's most likely it'll continue to be where it's at. In expenditures, a couple front-loaded expenses in the water fund that you'll see that stick out. Obviously, our water supply, State and Lopez, those are always paid up front. And then another item is our membership, and one of them is to the Cal Rural Water Association. That looks like we're over budget, but that's just a one-time payment. Also, under permits, you'll always see our annual encroachment permit to Slo County. Always looks high, but that's our one-time payment to them for the year. And then I also mentioned the Well 8 motor. That one looked high, and also the fixed asset for the clay valve for the water tank. Those are both high, but should level off by the end of this year. All right, then another enterprise fund is our wastewater fund. So same thing goes for our wastewater revenues as did our water fund. Five of the six billing cycles have been collected. The difference is here is this one's tracking on budget because consumption doesn't affect our wastewater rates because it's not our current district's rate structure. It's a fixed rate, so consumption won't adjust or it won't be adjusted by consumption. And then a couple items I had listed that were running high earlier was the equipment on the sewer jetter. But other than that, we're still under budget. Our last enterprise fund, the garbage fund. You can see here revenues are tracking on budget even after we made the resolution to lower the franchise fees or what we collect in franchise fees, which passed on to our customer. And you can see here where we have a large savings, and a lot of it's coming from wages and salaries, and that could be because I think a lot of customers are taking advantage of your voucher program you established, and there's less 311 tickets. So staff doesn't have to go collect large items, and a lot of customers are using it, and I know that because we get a lot of calls about it, and I know they appreciate it. So with that, if there are any questions on a particular line item in the budget packet, on the presentation or overall, I'd be happy to answer them.
I'm thinking more big picture in that depending on what happens with fire, and we're discussing that tonight. How are we budgeting that when there's so many unknowns? And then what if next year the LAFCO determines the result of our divestiture. So how are we budgeting for that?
So that'll be probably discussed further at our next meeting when we have our budget workshop. Right now we're in the information gathering stage when it comes to fire. But it is going to be tight next year. With an interim contract. So more on the budget next meeting.
Okay. Any more comment?
I've got a couple of questions. And I was, I forgot a piece of paper I wanted at home that I wanted to bring, but on page 29 of the budget, again, this is just a curious question. $11,000 for, well, almost $12,000 for LAFCO, our annual membership fee. What do we get for $12,000 a year from LAFCO?
So that's how LAFCO is funded. They divvy up their costs and spread it to the cities and county and special districts. And so $11,000 is our share based on our budget.
So just their basic operational budget.
Correct.
So, like, I mean, if we had chosen to go down the road to get more information from LAFCO about pros and cons of cityhood, we would have to pay them additional for that.
So if, like, when we submitted our divestiture application, we had to pay them a fee for that application. And they, that fee covers their time. If they use all of the fee, then we may have to pay them more. If they don't use all the fee, we'd get a refund. That's kind of how they work those fee-specific services. But just asking questions probably wouldn't generate a fee.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. In August 24th of last year, there was a report on all of the anticipated surpluses. And in this category, the estimated surplus was $207,000. And now, if I read it correctly, it's $6,000.
And what page are you talking?
I'm still on page 29.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I admit that this is a challenge for me, but it appeared that every one of these budget categories has a significant deficit. There is no surplus, or am I missing something?
Every fund.
Yes,
here
every
today?
Fund.
No, every fund is well under budget. We're doing a, yeah. There's just some line items I pull out to tell. Discuss why they are high.
So where does in terms of administrative on this page, uh-huh. Where does the surplus show up?
So the last column, it basically says estimated budget variance right there, that last column, anything in black is doing well, anything in red is would be a negative variance, and you can see the subtotals are what's really important. So total salaries, you can see here under 20,000, total benefits, and total personnel. So basically, that's your variance showing what we budgeted versus what we estimate to be actual at January 30th, 2023.
Did you intend to have a separate sheet for each of the funds of what you estimated that to be?
So each fund, basically, before you get to the very detailed sheet, so basically are we both on 29? If you go to 28, this is a summary of the administrative fund. So that basically only shows you the subtotals there.
And so
each fund has one right before you get to their very detailed page.
Okay.
So sometimes when I'm wanting to just look overview, I don't look at the very detailed part. I just look at they look smaller than the, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
That's a good tip. So where is we have an estimated actual encumbrances of $1,200,000. And there's an estimate, I'm looking at the bottom line.
Oh.
And then there's a $5,998 estimated budget variance. So where's the...
So when you're looking at that line item, it's the transfer out to fire and lighting. So that's the total when you add fire's cost, which is $1,173,691, and lighting's total, which is $53,400. So that's the total there being transferred out from our administrative budget to our two general funds, which are fire and lighting. So those are the property taxes that have to go from our administration fund to our fire and lighting. So that's the property tax leaving to pay for those two services.
Okay. Then if we go to page 32, this is the fire budget, and looking at the summary, wait, is there a summary page?
Yes, that one would be on 31.
Okay. So why do we show zero revenues?
So because the property taxes are collected in the page before, and then they are transferred to the fire fund, if you go to page 32, right there at the last section from, what, how many lines is this? One, two, three, four, five lines from the bottom. Right there is where it says transfer in property taxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so I mean, so that's just the accounting principle. You don't show it in revenues?
Right. It's not a revenue of that fund. It's coming in as a transfer. So you have revenues, expenditures, and transfers in and out.
Okay.
So like in the facilities fund, you know, rent from the fire, rent from the sheriff, that you do see revenues in a facility fund because they're collected in the facilities fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you estimate that the reserve fund will be, the general fund reserve will be at the end of the year?
So we were looking at that earlier. We had 200,000 that weren't public facilities fund, and
right, which can only be used for certain projects on this building. And then the general fund, there, the current balance in the general fund is 140. 140? I thought it was 160.
No, public facilities fees was 140.
Right.
200 was the general.
I think 175.
Yeah.
So that's what we start next year with, 175,000 in reserves. Because, and that's what we'll show next meeting as our reserve balance. However, that doesn't take into effect what's happening this year. So that doesn't get trued up until August and the final budget.
But yeah, next meeting we'll have more details into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your work.
Of course.
Okay, we'll have public comment on this one, just the budget.
Julie Tacker, and here's what I'm going to do, if you don't mind. There is an item after this about Five Cities Fire. If I could just, I'm going to combine it and speak once, because it's all about the money. Looking at the fire fund, you have $1,173,691 for 2023-24. On the back table here, there's a term sheet for your next 9 months of fire service. They want $1.2 million, and you don't have that. You only have $173,691. So you're short $26,309. I saw a number of $1,211,000 in the agreement in Arroyo Grande, and if that's changed, great. If not, you're actually short $37,309 for 9 months of service. In the agreement, term sheet for this agreement, they're wanting to collect $400,000 each quarter for those three quarters, which means the fourth quarter you have not only a deficit, but you have $400,000 more to come up with should you stay with Five Cities Fire Authority. That's how I'm reading it. I'm sure Mr. Clemens is going to answer all my questions in his next presentation. But so let's call it $530,000 short to get you through a whole year. I don't know how, and this is where the question is. If the divestiture is approved by the ninth month, and you are now part of the county, and you have zero to offer, how does that work? Because what you have to offer is just this $1,173,691. So why isn't this term sheet prorated to what you have? 12 months, this money needs to go for 12 months. So where's the pushback? Who's negotiating? And you're not getting much for your money.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Do we have further discussions, questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Just a receive and file? The budget review?
Just on the budget.
Yeah, it's just a receive and file.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Our next one is consideration of conducting a mid-year performance evaluation of the general manager.
So this was an item that I brought to the board, and given the lack of other directors here this evening, I would just suggest that we kick this to the next meeting when we have a full body of directors present to address it.
Okay. So we don't need public comment if we...
Yeah, you do. You do. Julie Tacker again. And I watched the part of the meeting from the 26th where this was discussed, and what was evident was that two... And this is on you, Mr. Martin. Two board members agreed to have it on an agenda, but someone made a motion and you stopped them from taking a vote. Had that vote been taken, I believe you would have had all three, at least three board members to put it on this agenda. And I think that was wrong. If somebody makes a motion, take the vote. If it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. But if someone's made the motion because they want it on this agenda, then that you should have let that happen. Your bylaws say that two board members can put it on. So two should have been enough to put the item on the agenda, not this discussion to whether or not put it on some future agenda. So I think that was poor representation and some bad advice.
Okay, so now we will move to the consideration of progress on a contract with Five Cities. Oh, I'm sorry.
The only thing I would say is that Mr. Clemens' contract speaks to having it have to be a board decision whether or not to have a performance review. So the way I interpreted it was two members, of course, could agendize a discussion about whether or not to have one, but it would take three. It has to be a board action as a body to decide to have one.
Okay.
So I guess before we get off this topic, it was brought back to this board at this meeting, and there was a suggestion made that it be pushed to another meeting, but that doesn't have to happen. So, it would take your board agreeing to put that on a future meeting. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be moved?
It's on the agenda. No, you don't have to.
It's on the agenda. We can vote on it.
You can make a motion and you can act on it.
Okay. Well, do you want to make a presentation?
Yeah, I'm asking to just continue the item.
So is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we continue this to the next meeting so that all directors are present.
What would be the basis for an evaluation, I guess?
Is this an appropriate discussion to have?
Well, is there a way to have this discussion without getting into things that would be more verbally discussed in closed session?
My reasons for asking for the performance evaluation is, first of all, we've been working together with Mr. Clemens for a little over 5 months now, I think. And Director Sunnison and myself are both, you know, brand new. Don't have any experience with being a director before or working with Mr. Clemens. And there are issues that have come up that I think that need clarification. To allow us to work more effectively together. They involve general topics like communication guidelines, project management and decision-making styles, and the, maybe more clarification on director roles and general manager roles. And I think it's important that we have a frank and open and honest discussion of these in closed session as appropriate. And I see no reason to avoid that. I think it's healthy. It comes from a desire to have improved and more effective working relationships among us all.
Well, do you think do you think there's a problem with the bylaws?
I'm not sure that one is really up for, that's not necessarily, I mean, how is that germane to the topic?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, we did an evaluation November 2022. We do an annual evaluation. I think I know Mr. Clemens' door is open whenever any director wants to come talk to him about anything that they think is not working right. I think I don't think it's necessary to have an evaluation out of order, just because I think Mr. Varney has his control issues. That's just, I'm going to put it that way, and I think maybe we need to have a lesson in what the general manager, he's hired to do a job, and I haven't seen any reason that we need to take him to task on anything, which is, I think this is what this is for, and I think that I'm not in support of doing that. It's another waste of time over Mr. Varney's trying to micromanage and control the whole OCSD to his way of thinking, his wishes. And this is a board of five people, not just one. So I'm not in favor of calling a special evaluation when you can see what's been going on here. The manager has done an outstanding job and continues to do so, mm-hmm. and is available to Mr. Varney anytime he has any issue he wants to discuss with him. So I don't think the need that we need to go into a discussion on his duties or what he's not doing that you don't like.
I think my main point is that, you know, we are elected and we set policy and we hire a general manager to carry it out, manager and staff, and then we have the final vote. So if there is a problem with some project or some issue, I mean, it gets worked out during that process. And I think that part of his job requires him to have the latitude to make decisions on spending, on, you know, timing and preparing materials for the staff and for the public and for the board. So, you know, he can't work to someone else's schedule because he prioritizes by the importance of the issue and timelines, et cetera. And so we can't know all of those things. So I think he keeps bringing in money, grants to our district. And if that second one goes through, that would be $7 million in 4 years. And that's pretty darn good. So I'm not in favor of the evaluation either.
So before we've had a vote on the motion, we have the opinions about it. I'll just say to Director Austin that your opinions about my motivation have no relevance to the reality of why I bring this up. But I'm used to you opining about what my motivations are without asking. There are significant issues about the ability of directors to participate in project development, in being involved in the process of prioritizing what the desires are of the directors on projects. And that is part of what, to your point, Director Gibson, that one of the reasons that I think that discussion would be is timely and important to carry out.
Well, maybe what you're looking for is a general manager position yourself. I don't think that is the
Again, your opinion about what my motivations are. You can ask me rather than opining on it, please.
I would say that all of those things you're trying to take over are the work of the general manager. He doesn't need the board telling him what priorities are.
That is exactly our job. Exactly our job.
When we set our priorities every year, okay? But on the day-to-day work, he has to set his own priorities for getting things done, okay? You know, we make our yearly, you know, capital improvements and whatever else is, you know, pertinent at that time. But on the day-to-day, no, he needs to have control of that, not the board.
Okay. Well, here's an example. On Friday afternoon, we got an agenda, not this Friday, going back, with a $33,000 contract for a grant application to the Clean California program of Caltrans. Mr. Clemens came to us with that pretty well developed, ready to go, with no input from any directors, other than, from the looks of it, probably private conversations, I don't know, with Director Austin, since so much of it involves the depot. And there were
false.
a number of issues that came up for me in terms of that process. And I was basically, you know, ignored my issues that I brought up to Mr. Clemens. I don't think we're directed in a fair and professional manner. And I do have issues with that. I can talk with Mr. Clements about that, you know, yeah, there's straightforward.
I think Director Varney does have a motion pending also.
Okay. But I believe that wasn't that the work of the contract that we had with MNS?
This is all getting a little bit off topic.
This is what we should be discussing. This is an issue I want to discuss.
Director Varney does have a motion pending.
And there was no second.
Correct.
So the motion is died, right?
Is there a second?
No, I don't second it.
I'll make a motion we don't discuss this. Or we don't... What's my motion?
I just want to make one more discussion point that Mr. Varney states that his opinion that I had anything to do with any of the grant application is, as usual, false. And I, and why would it be a problem if there was any improvements done at the Oceano Depot anyway? You know, it's not my personal property. It's this community's property. You don't, because you hate me, you don't want any improvements done to the community.
Okay, let's not get personal.
So I second the motion, and we're done with this. We don't want to.
So there is the motion that Director Varney made, I believe, was to table this question for another meeting.
Right.
Is there a second for that motion?
No second.
Okay, well, I'll bring it back when we have more.
Director Gibson
here.
Made a motion. And what was that motion?
To place it on the next.
So we don't need it on the agenda.
Yeah, on the agenda.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Well, it's just, hold on. So, are you saying not put it on any agenda or just the next agenda?
Yeah, don't ever talk about it.
On the next
Very typical.
Agenda.
Okay. So the motion by Director Gibson is to not bring this back, although there's really no mechanism to bring it back on the next agenda, I don't believe. But the motion is to not bring this topic back on the next agenda.
Right.
So, first of all, I don't think the directors have the authority to say what will be put on the agenda or not. Our bylaws say that if two directors want it on the agenda, it goes on the agenda.
To say that something doesn't go on the agenda, I don't know that the bylaws give that power. I think the power is to put items on the agenda.
Right. So, and do we have is this a quorum to be able to vote on something?
Well, any two of you could agree to put an item on the agenda, and if all three of you agree, then you have a majority.
Well, I didn't get a second.
Yeah. Quiet, please. Okay, so just leave it as it is.
You can withdraw your motion. There's no second from Director Varney's motion, and so okay. There's no action taken on this item.
Okay. I'll withdraw my motion. Okay, so next is the consideration of progress on a contract with Five Cities Fire Authority for the interim time period.
Thank you. Carrie, can you pull up the addendum that we received? So this item was requested to be put on this agenda and all agendas moving forward as we're working through the process of negotiating an interim contract this one is in particular to Five Cities Fire Authority, but it could just as well be with the county as well. So when the staff report was posted on Friday, we did not have this term sheet. That was something that was provided late Monday afternoon by the cities. This is their proposed term sheet. And so I thought it would be good if we discussed it a bit, and you can provide direction as we move forward. I think there was the pertinent information in here is this came from basically the city of Arroyo Grande. The city of Grover Beach approved moving forward with terms that were based on the Baker-Tilly report that was done for the cities. But then when it got to the city of Arroyo Grande, they made some changes. They decided to not even listen to their own consultants on what the available funding from Oceana would be, and come up with their own proposal. And basically, they are proposing a 9-month contract. So it would run through March 31st. So that's a big issue, is the term of the contract only being 9 months for basically the same dollar amount. They came up with $1.2 million. The Baker-Tilly report had $1.211 million, as was mentioned by a member of the public earlier. So they're basing their proposal, from what I can tell, on what they think Oceano should have paid were we to remain in the Five Cities Fire Authority and maintain our funding allocation as was contained in the JPA that is no longer going to be operative as of July 1st. So I think that is a bit problematic, because why base it on the funding formula from a JPA that's not in existence and doesn't recognize the reality of the situation that we no longer will have a say in the operations. Our station will no longer be used at all. They're proposing that all calls for service be based out of either the Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach station. So no doubt that will impact response times to Oceano. So this is an interim service contract. So it should be based on cost of service. And the proposal that they've put on the table is not based on cost of service. And that's why I prepared a little bit of an analysis. Of course, I just got this late Monday, so couldn't do much with it. But this kind of gives you the city's proposal, the pertinent information. Being for 9 months, they want $1.2 million. And when you look at the service calls, actual service calls for 2022, we're basically 16% of the service calls. So we had 686 service calls in 2022. If you prorate that by 9 months, that brings it to 515 service calls. So what they're asking of Oceano is that we pay what amounts to $2,332 per service call, when their own contribution combined, the city of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, would come in at $1,848 per service call. So they want us to subsidize the service calls in the cities, is basically this proposal. If I break it down even further between Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande would only pay $1,669 per service call, whereas Grover Beach would pay $2,163 because they're continuing on with that funding formula in some form in their new JPA, which they can do. That's, you know, however they want to split up their cost is up to them. But when you combine the two, I think it's well illustrated that they're asking us to pay more per service call than they're paying themselves. And I would never recommend that to your board. So I've put out what I thought was an option to offer to them, and that be basically the amount that's identified in their own Baker-Tilly report, but that it would cover an entire year. And that would bring us slightly under the combination of their cost per call. But I think that's warranted based on the fact that the Oceano station is not going to be used. We're not getting the same level of service as the cities would when it comes to response time. We have no say in operations. So this is just an option for you to consider if you want to give direction or not. It's kind of a last minute thing, but we're going to continue to work together to see if we can come to some sort of an agreement, and we continue to work with the county as well to get a proposal for an interim contract from the county. So that's kind of where we are. This is the latest information as of a couple days ago. So be happy to try to answer questions or take direction, any direction that you'd want to give.
I had a question. Why did they propose this for 9 months? Are they assuming that LAFCO may be done by then, or what's...
They're hoping. So that's... The reason they proposed it by 9 months is they know this is about, and to be honest, as one of the members of the public mentioned, this is more than we're paying this year. Yeah. So we do expect more than that in property tax revenue, but we have other expenses that we have to cover. Our CalPERS payments, we have lighting to fund. We'll we don't have anything set up on the calendar. This is kind of the latest, and Mr. Martin's looking at their other terms that they've proposed, so I'm sure he'll be working with the attorneys to hammer out some of those details.
I don't know how we're going to get it in their head that we have always been the ones that have subsidized. We've always paid more. And I understand that there it was said that, you know, they can't subsidize Oceano. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean.
Now, I have a question. With your proposal, do you think after divestiture, do you think your proposal would be similar to what we might be offered by the county, or... Do you have any thoughts on that?
After divestiture?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the county is currently working on their plan for service, should they take over the service, and we don't have the details of that.
But it does really look like that we probably won't get the same level of service that we've had, and we won't have any control or any input. They won't use, you know, maybe not use their station, slower response times. So,
was there anything why they won't use this station? Anything in their other?
Isn't it staffing?
They have indicated that they would like to see upgrades. One thing they don't like is the office is in the bay with the fire truck, so they believe that's not appropriate because there's diesel fumes. So that's something they've indicated.
That could be another issue, that the county takes over this building and becomes more of a fire station.
And that's divestiture-related
right.
topics, which so, right now we're trying to focus on.
I know.
Right. What happens next year while the divestiture process plays out?
Well, I think that this proposal looks good to me, and I think this is for 1 year.
9 months.
Well, no, for what we would come back with it,
okay,
with assault with a year, no 9 months for a year, and
yeah,
you know, with our contribution fair for the amount of calls we have. But so, and then in the meantime, if we do this, then we still are working with the county.
Yeah.
So, like, say if we work out, like if we sign up for a year, then that gives us a year. After that, then we would either sign up again, it says, we could do it
well,
again.
Well, this would be intended to last until the LAFCO process is finished, and we can smoothly transition to the county.
If it gets finished mm-hmm. before, are we held to this for a year? If it's
no, you know, we can.
That's right, 30, it's 30 days or 60.
Withdraw.
Yeah.
But frankly, I don't think the county will be able to react that quickly after LAFCO makes its decision. There's going to be some time needed to transition the service.
What about?
And I'm concerned with it not being able to get done in 9 months. And the problem with the proposal from the cities is if it lasts more than 9 months, we don't have the funding to continue this contract. Mm-hmm. So if our board would be interested in a 9 month term that we could extend month to month, it definitely shouldn't be at 1.2 million. It should be closer to what AG is paying per service call, the $1,669.
Right.
And that would bring our 9 month cost or maybe a year's cost down to 1.15.
So I'm wondering too, if we sign with Five Cities Fire Authority, what about all the equipment that we have purchased that's in that authority?
So that all gets sorted out through the wind down period of the JPA. So we'll get credit for everything we've paid for.
You'd think we'd have something while.
But then we have the unfunded liabilities from our CalPERS. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get any cash out of it. We're going to owe.
Right.
Picking up on that unfunded liability, there's nothing here about that, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's not what we're talking about now. We're just talking about service next year.
Right, but the unfunded liability, about $1.5 million, or I think or something around that, comes up a lot in discussion here.
And it will go higher unless there's a miraculous market rally in the next month.
I think it would be a good idea to negotiate a multi-year payout of that liability as opposed to a one-time lump sum, which we don't have the money for anyway. And I don't know when, so I would like to encourage the board to support that, and as a policy that, you know, we direct staff to do their best to negotiate a multi-year payout schedule for that unfunded liability that is both fair to the Five Cities Fire Authority and that does not burden us with unnecessary, you know, debt.
And that, yeah, that is certainly something that we're discussing. Is it's one thing to come up with the number, but then how are we going to pay that number? And there's options. So we anticipate there'll be a lump sum option and a pay over time option that would be acceptable to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's in the works.
What if Arroyo and Grover are hard-nosed on their figures?
That's to be seen, I guess. You know, we always could see what the county's going to offer us as it comes to an interim contract, and you'll have to compare the two and take whatever you think is best for Oceano. But I guess I am looking for direction on what options you might recommend as far as term and amounts.
Well, I like your proposal.
I think that's a good place to start.
Start there.
So I like the nine-month one because maybe that will light a fire under LAFCO to move forward more rapidly with it. And I wasn't following the last set of numbers because I don't think they're up here what you were talking about, right?
So, no.
So it's like I'm having a hard time holding all of this in my head right now in terms of being able to give you a recommendation that's thoughtful and, you know, comes from understanding the situation.
So, you know, we could do either 1 year or 9 month term, but if you do the 9 month term at their cost proposal, we're not going to have any money to go further than that. So I would suggest if you're going to offer a 9 month proposal, that it be for a significantly lower amount of cost.
Lower than the 1765 that's there?
Yes.
And that's the 1 year.
This is one, so could you work up one for 9 months and see?
Right, yeah.
Does, if we do that, does that put us at a disadvantage if we need to continue past 9 months?
As long as the cost is reasonable for 9 months, that would allow us to extend it on a month-to-month basis. But we certainly can't do that at $1.2 million for 9 months.
Right.
I think what you should probably, if that's where you're going, give direction that the term is flexible, but no higher than a certain amount for a 12-month period is what I would suggest your direction be.
Okay.
And you're talking about the lump sum, 1.2 million?
It would be paid quarterly, but it would be a set amount for the year or the 9 months set amount with the ability to extend month to month.
Okay, but when that that number would be less if we aren't. That's calculated on 1,765 times
for a year.
686 calls, right?
Yes.
So, what do you suggest that call cost per call be lowered to?
Well, so I'm not suggesting we come up with a cost per call and then apply it to actual calls, but that helps you get a relative difference between what we're paying and what the other agencies are paying.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So the contract would be for a set dollar amount for a set term.
Forget the number of calls.
Forget.
In a sense, yeah.
It's in the same ballpark every year. Mm-hmm. We range from 14 to 16% of the service calls within Five City Fire service area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would support the 12-month because it doesn't matter how fast LAFCO is. I think it's more the question of the county. And so I think that's unpredictable.
I agree, because then if they get it sooner, then we can get out sooner. So why make it, I think we should do the 12 months.
So what's easier, getting out or extending?
I think they're both doable.
Yeah. You don't see any big plus or minus to one over the other?
No.
Do you have a preference? How about the other? How about our partners there? Do you think they'd have a preference? They offered 9 months. We come back and say, well, we want it for a year.
Yeah, I think the direction that I would look for is give me flexibility on the term, but a cap for what we can pay for the year. And then that allows me to negotiate what that would be.
So then I would suggest we go with the Tilly Burke or whoever she is, that 1.1.
The Baker Tilly?
Yeah, Baker Tilly. That was 1.1 something.
1.75. Theirs was 1.211.
Okay.
That's what was identified in the Baker Tilly report. The 1.1 is if we applied what Arroyo Grande's paying on a per call basis to our annual contract.
Right. Well, I like that. I mean, I think that's a good place to start.
I like that too. I think it's reasonable. Why mm-hmm. should we pay more than
right.
yeah. Arroyo yeah, Grande the logic is for there. For the call for service?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Plus, we're going to get less service, really. So, yeah, I can support that.
Do you want a motion to that effect? So that. Well, help me out with this. Well,
I would move provide direction to staff to offer up to $1.15 million for a year's term mm-hmm. or a flexible term that results in no cost more than $1.15 million.
Okay.
So moved. I heard so moved.
Second.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry. Yeah, public comment.
Oh, it's really fun.
It's okay.
Believe it or not, I agree with you.
Can you talk into the?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
They like to hear you on TV.
The question I have is, we've only got till June the 30th, if I hear it correctly. So they sort of have us by the goodies as far as in a bargaining position. So if you were to offer them 1.1 and they say no, where is an alternative? And what are we going to do? And if they just draw this out and wait till after, till July 1 to come back with a response, you're sort of dead in the water. Your contract now has expired. You have something new to do. What I was going to say with Mr. Varney is I like the idea of a multi-year. And if you have to go with this thing right now to provide service, because if we run out, who's going to provide service? What's going to happen? I know the state has a mandate or something that somebody has to provide it, but how much is that going to cost? So what I was saying is, if you have to do it this way, why not eat it for the period that it comes up with, even if it's 9 months, but in that 9 months, try to work out another situation with the county or with the authority. And because if you go in at 1.1 and they drag their heels and then they come back and say no, what's next? There's no alternative.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? The board, and you made a first, and I'll make the second.
And I'll just respond to those questions.
Okay,
so that's why we're working with the county to get another proposal so that we can hopefully compare the two.
How soon, though, before the county will reply?
We've been working with them for several months now. So, I'm confident that they will reply before June 30th. I don't know what that reply will be, but I'm confident they will reply.
Roll call, Carrie.
There's public comment.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm just curious, and I might not be understanding this right, this kind of new kind of, all over the place. But if we don't get funding, will it eventually, the costs go on the residents of the town if we cannot come up with that money to support what they're asking for?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, roll call.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
And Director Austin?
Yes.
Okay, we don't have any hearing items. So, received written communications, and it looks like we received an email that's in the packet.
What's the protocol on this one?
We just attach receive written communication.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay. It's on the agenda if you want to discuss it. Otherwise, you don't have to. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Late received.
Wait. I do have a response to Mr. Ouch's letter. Brief. I'll be brief. I was elected.
I think his last name is actually pronounced Oaks, I think.
Oaks?
I think he said Oaks. Like the oak tree. Am
Oaks?
I right about that?
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. So anyway. Okay, although thanks. Ouch was interesting.
Oh. Okay, so Mr. Oaks, I was elected by 57% of the voters. When I ran for office, and people were very clear on what my platform was and what I was running on. And that was a platform based on community betterment, community empowerment, and positive change. And a fair share of our property taxes and sales taxes and transient occupancy taxes being spent back in our community. This last topic is a perfect example of it. I think most Oceanans that I know are pretty fed up with
lack of infrastructure going back decades, flooding, potholed streets. Oh, that's my alarm to take my statin. junk littered in the alleys and paying high property taxes and getting poor services. It's a main thing I hear from people who moved here within the last 10 years. They're paying the same amount of property taxes they were down in LA, but they're not getting the services that they're used to. And I'm a strong supporter of local control in Oceano. And when I hear people say they're going to lose their local control if we examine cityhood, my response, and you may have heard this, is like, we don't have much local control here. You know, here's the only local control we have is right here in this room, you know, around water and garbage and sewer and lights. So I support researching cityhood for Oceano. And I think it's a historic opportunity for the locals to look at what's the possibility. Mr. Oakes and his supporters seek to suppress information and facts that would be useful to Oceanans in making a decision about their future because he's... I don't know what his motivation is, but it's I do not see his motivation being in the best interest of our community. He has used consistently distortions, exaggerations, and out-and-out lies in an attempt to create dissension in the community and to end conflict. I invited Oceanans to let President Villa know that they wanted accurate information on the pros and cons of a possible merger, which is exactly what President Villa asked for. She asked to hear from people that supported it. So that wasn't my idea. I was following up on it and encouraging people that I believe, based on, some research that is the majority of the community, and I'm actually fairly confident that it is. Aline and I have, I'm sorry she's not here tonight, Aline and I have worked for hundreds of hours on behalf of this community. We hold each other in mutual respect, and we have supported each other through a number of projects. Mr. Oak's ethnic baiting and sleazy smears have no basis in any reality except his own worldview and his desire to sow dissent and divisiveness. Cityhood for Oceano is not a topic that's going to go away. There is a large group of local citizens who want the facts and are beginning to organize. Citizens who do not fear the truth or nor open discussion. History's full of stories of people who want the truth to be known and those who want to repress it. I'm very comfortable on the side of history that I stand on. That's my response to Mr. Oakes. Thank you.
More comment? Thank you.
Thank you, Julie Tacker. And I read this and felt like any comments on next door after there was a vote certainly was not a Brown Act violation. So I guess my question is for Mr. Martin. Did he feel like there was a Brown Act violation? And if that is the case, or even close to a Brown Act violation, based on whatever you determine the need to do your memo, I would hope that if any of you got close to that line, that he'd pick up the phone and call you and warn you and advise you, because that is his job, to protect the district, because it would wrap all of you into the Brown Act violation, which would be a civil action that someone would have to sue you over. And I'm going to say just one tiny bit more thing, and maybe this is something Mr. Martin can also speak to, is a conflict of interest. And there was some reference earlier tonight about Mr. Varney might want to be the general manager. By law, you cannot become the general manager until 1 year after you're off the board. There's a revolving door, 1 year ban for any one of you to do business with the district after you've been a board member.
Any more public comment?
All I have to say is just wow. Somebody finally got called out on the way that they are, the way that they talk, the things that they say about this community and others. And it's been going on for a long time. And I'm glad that people are finally bringing it to the public's attention. And it's been really hard to be a part of anything or say anything without it being turned around and made to be something that it's not. And everything that is said by you, Mr. Varney, that you just said, pretty much represents what you do. So how can you be upset at somebody else for speaking the truth when you speak lies? Thank you very much.
Any more public comment?
Told you I talk a lot. I said that I lived here for 37 years. I've probably been to board meetings for 35 years. Excuse me. And I said that a while back ago, I quit coming just because basically of this. Please stop with the personal attacks. Talk with business. If you have a problem with somebody's letter, address them personally. It's not business. And secondly is, I'm sure that if you have problems with Mr. Clemens or what's going on, talk to him directly. And you don't need to do an evaluation to have a civil conversation like you were talking about. And I'm sure his door is open. It'd be great for the whole board to have been here tonight. It would be great for the whole board and Mr. Clemens to sit down and just talk about how they feel and what they would like to see. You know, so the personal attacks and those type of comments, that's the reason I quit going here. That's the reason the room is not filled. So thank you. Have a good evening.
Oh, crap. I didn't bring my reading glasses. Sorry. My name's April Dury. I'm an Oceano resident. First thing I want to point out is it's fascinating to me that when one member of Los Osos community talks to you, don't want to hear from them, it's not their purview, mind their own business, stay in your own lane, and some nutball from Los Osos writes a letter and steps out of his bounds as a moderator on a website to involve himself in our local politics, he's from Los Osos as well. So I'm stymied by that. Last meeting, Director Gibson had mentioned that to Mr. Paulding and in the whole crowd that was against Mr. Paulding that we did not vote for Mr. Paulding. But the reason we weren't able to vote for Mr. Paulding is because our prior general manager didn't allow us. So the five of you that represent Oceano, I voted for one of you, that man right there, in an overall election. I refused to vote for two of you, and two of you I couldn't vote for because you're not in my district at this point. So Mr. Varney does represent what I would like to have happen in this district for the most part. What I really do not like is the fact that every chance some of you get, you disparage him. I read the comments on Nextdoor. I read the awful things that you guys write to him in response. He's not writing mean things. He's trying to get a discussion going. I personally don't want this project per se, but I'm open to a discussion. And you guys gatekeeping and stonewalling and C-blocking everything he does is unacceptable. You need to represent all of us and get along together. And Mr. Oaks, I can't wait till next door company talks to him because he has way overstepped his bounds.
More public comment?
I just want to make one quick comment that I did remember, I think as an agenda here a while back, we did have a letter attached that from Ms. Tacker. So she has not been ran out of town. She's here all the time. Nobody's telling her to leave. That's all. I haven't.
Future agenda items.
I have one, or maybe two. The first one is there's a survey that was completed last year, probably around this time last year. And it was a survey of Oceano residents. It was the most accurate social scientific survey ever done in the community. Random sample, face-to-face interviews with a error rate of plus or minus 3% on the answers. This research was carried out by the Cal Poly City and Regional Planning Graduate Program with graduate students being directed by professors and involve basic survey research methodology. And the topic of the survey was land use preference, the land use preferences of local residents. And these preferences that residents expressed clearly indicate what they are looking for in community. And this is a random sample of the entire community, not my reference group, not your reference group, but the entire community. This information has not been shared with the community, even though it was gathered on its behalf. And that is something that has become absolutely unacceptable to me. This information is legally in the public arena. And I wrote to Mr. Clemens suggesting that I would like to have this on the agenda. He felt that it was not appropriate, and he can speak to that himself. But I think that this is valuable information for the directors, for the community, and it deserves to be presented to them through the government of Oceano, which is the CSD. And so I'm making a motion that that be put on the agenda for our next meeting as a presentation, which will take approximately 10 minutes.
I have a question. How does that presentation relate to a service district that delivers water, runs the sewer plant, fire protection? I mean, what does the survey have to do with that? I mean, that is...
Well, the survey results...
That is our focus.
The survey results speak to people's... desires and expectations and hopes for what will happen in this community, and that very much will impact the provision of the responsibilities of the community services district in its provision of water, sewage, garbage, lights, kinds of services. And so it behooves the efficient operation and planning of a community services district to know what the population of the community they serve is looking for and desires.
So sewage and water are mentioned in the survey?
There's no specific mention of sewage and water.
Okay, well, I'm not understanding the connection between the survey and what we specifically do.
Okay, what about what I just said did you not understand?
I understand it, but the thing is, we're not involved in wants of the community. That's not within our purview. We deliver services. So, I understand a lot of people in Oceano want different things, but those are mainly what the county provides. And if people aren't happy with that, then they should go to the county.
Can I speak to why I thought it would be best that your board discuss whether you want it to be on the agenda? Because to me, a land use survey, we don't have land use authority with this district. So that would be the county. I think the county should present it, definitely. And VACO, that would be the right forum for land use discussion, would be at VACO, who advises the county on land use issues.
I believe, is this the survey you're talking about that Cal Poly students did with the Oceano Economic Development Commission? Is this the survey
we were talking
several years ago?
No, it was last year.
It was last year? Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with Shirley, that's a something the county should look at that. It's a land use thing. It was done as part of the, this is all part of the, if you can understand what's going on here with the redevelopment of Oceano and the closure of the airport and the big buildings that are going on, the reason that this Oceano Economic Development Commission wants to come into Oceano. And there's no reason. You say it's readily available. I've seen it. A lot of people have seen it. So you should go promote it out there. This has nothing to do with OCSD, these kind of things. It's all part of the plan to the big development coming into Oceano and running everybody out that can't afford the houses you guys are wanting to do.
Well, and we don't make zoning decisions. We don't have control over land use. I mean, we have a very narrow purview of what we do. And I don't see how it connects. I'm getting a public comment. Does the board have any more comments before we go to public?
Go ahead.
Okay, public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I just wanted to speak to the future agenda items. And really quick, the land use survey and how it dovetails to the Oceano CSD is actually the services. Does your infrastructure support? Do you have enough water for additional multifamily housing or hotels or large whatever? Whatever's in the survey. So what services you can provide, do you have the infrastructure to do it? I think it doesn't hurt you to hold a 10-minute presentation. You've had the county come in and do revitalization presentations and all other kinds of presentations here. So it doesn't hurt you to hear it, to look at it. So I don't see why you wouldn't put it on a future agenda. The other thing, at your last board meeting, Mr. Varney asked about putting the blight on Front Street on a future agenda item. Again, this is something you absolutely could discuss as a board. I'd actually like to see you write a letter with letterhead as a complaint to the county. You can do that as a united front, and you'd probably actually get somewhere. Where one person, and I've dealt with county code enforcement a lot, unless you hit them over the head, they don't get out and look at it. County code enforcement is driven by complaints only. And then they address them on their health and safety first. And while visual, there's other problems with the blight that Mr. Varney talked about. Someone could get hurt if they
climbed over that fence or whatever. There's have the discussion. Just have the discussion and send out a letter yourselves from the district saying this is a concern of ours. And I think you'd have results.
Or comment?
I don't think that a potentially biased study commissioned by Mr. Varney and the Oceana Economic Development Council is appropriate for this board. Thank you.
So that is not an accurate statement in terms of...
Mr. Varney, we're not having a back and forth.
Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. I have a right to respond to her. Mr. Martin?
No, he can respond to public comment. That's allowed. So...
I'm not a member of the Oceano Economic Development Company, or council. The research is not biased. You are mistaken about that. And it is highly relevant to our community. This feels to me exactly like another example of don't let people have information because you're fearful of it or because you don't want them to be thinking some way other than you do. I don't know what your motivation is, but it's a huge concern of me that this is a theme that constantly comes up to not let people know what's going on for whatever reason is dreamt up for it.
One more public comment.
In the beginning of your comment, I believe you said that they were seeking us, not that our community was seeking this information. That's a little concerning that they're trying to make plans for our little community without informing our community that they're even making the plans. We didn't ask for them. Seems like a lot of things are being done that they think we want without asking our community, as if, like the last meeting, all the people that showed up and the people that I spoke to had no idea. So, yeah, we're a little skeptical about ideas coming up that we have no idea what it's about, because what is your motive if we didn't ask for it?
So the results of this survey are the words and opinions of Oceano residents. This is where the information comes from. Oceano residents.
No. Mm-mm.
Yes.
No.
Well,
not everybody. That's your opinion.
No, it's
and
a...
And I have
it's
mine.
A, it's
and a, I've noticed that when other people have opinions that you don't agree with, you throw a fit.
Well, I know social research. I'm a PhD sociologist and social psychologist. I spent my career doing research. And this is a standard protocol for science-based research. And the sampling was valid, and the results are valid. You may not like what they say, or you don't want to hear them, but you cannot criticize the validity of the research. So there's a motion on the table to present the Cal Poly land use preference survey data at a meeting of the OCSD. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
President Villa.
I understand.
I've made a motion.
Just to present.
Yes, for what reason you wanted that?
Because the community has a right to know.
I'm sorry. If there is public comment, you can make public comment.
Yeah.
You have 3 minutes to make the public comment on this particular topic, which was introduced by Director Varney. And each director is allowed to respond briefly to those public comments. But let's try to. I'd like to try to keep it in a little bit more of an organized fashion.
Thank you.
My name's Kat DeLeon.
I would like to know if anybody has spoken out to your Hispanic community that do not speak English, because I know a lot of people in my family, though we've been here for, you know, generations, some of them do not speak English. And I would hope that, you know, you, Mr. Varney, if you want more people to respect what you have to say, maybe speak to them in a voice that they can hear.
So I think I'll respond to it, because I believe this is about the a survey that was done by Cal Poly students. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was done by Cal Poly students, and it was supervised by, you know, experts in statistics and surveys that are valid. And so I was part of that team. It's not like it was Mr. Director Varney, just him. I did participate, and I did speak out clearly and was very concerned about, you know, the Latino community understand being reached out to and being reached out to in both languages, because we know that the Latino community here, half of them are like me, where they're born here from immigrant parents or parents that came, you know, who knows, 7,500 years ago. And the other quarter of them are like immigrants with limited language. So, yes, we specifically did make an effort to reach out to equal amounts of Latino and non-Latino in that aspect.
And the interviewers were bilingual.
And it did not include any mergers. So that's, it did, that wasn't even on the radar back then. Or maybe it was on some people's minds, but it wasn't included in the survey, and I certainly didn't hear about it. It wasn't on my mind. So I don't believe that was, I didn't see that anywhere on the survey myself. So it's just, it just talks about what we need, and the one of the basic, the two things or that they asked for, largest response, of course, were sidewalks, sidewalks and proper drainage. And I think the second highest result, if I'm correct, Director Varney, was affordable housing, because a lot of, you know, people who were raised here in Oceano are priced out. So they have to move to Nipomo and Guadalupe, wherever. But their first preference would have been here in Oceano, to stay in Oceano. But there's, the housing here is a little too expensive. So that those were two of the main things that the community wanted, was low housing and, right. Oh, and also parks and rec. Somewhere where we could have another park, a little larger park. That would be awesome. That would be great. I was thinking of like all those
President,
RVs.
President Villa, these are actually, I think, the findings in the survey.
Yes.
The question on the table, which was posed by Director Varney, is whether or not to add the results of that survey through a presentation by him on a future agenda. So that the motion is to actually present the findings of the survey at a future agenda.
Yeah, I see. I think the community has a right to know what their results were.
Yeah. So it has been moved. It has not been seconded.
Okay. So I second the motion.
That's really all you need. If you can do a roll call, I guess, but yeah. But
so, Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
No, we have no land use powers. It's not related to a service district.
And Director Austin?
No, for the same reason. Also, we are too many important things, like our fire service is number one we should be worried about. So, no.
We're still on future agenda items. Mm-hmm.
I have something I want to put on the agenda. I want to have a review of our bylaws and to determine whether Director Varney has violated any of those on social media after our last meeting.
So do we. Did we not have a presentation earlier on the bylaws?
On the
social media stuff today?
Yeah, that was at the very beginning.
Okay. Well, I'll second Shirley's desire to put that on the agenda. So can we get it on the agenda? There's two directors.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit unclear on specifically what we need to have on the agenda. So our bylaws and...
Mm-hmm. You want maybe...
And if they were violated mm-hmm. based on mm-hmm. social media?
Right, pronounced.
I'm a little unclear also, actually. So.
You're saying that you want just that item on the agenda for discussion amongst the board? Or are you asking the staff to try to reach a conclusion as to whether or not the bylaws were violated?
No, I think it
violated.
Needs to be discussed. Discussion.
We didn't have discussion after the presentation, like questions and discussion. Mm-hmm.
It's a different thing. This is not what he had. This is a different thing about.
Actually, it's exactly the same thing.
Well, it could have been brought up as an adjacent, like a tangent, tangible, but it wasn't. So, okay, if it wasn't, then I guess we could discuss it. If it wasn't, and you guys...
So does your motion include Director Gibson directing our counsel to do research and determine my guilt or innocence?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's appropriate.
Your
motion is to agendize a discussion amongst the board mm-hmm. to determine among as board members whether or not your bylaws were violated. Mm-hmm.
By any director.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, and we could take public comment on it if. Is there any public comment on this topic?
Can I be the judge?
Yes, okay. You could do your opinion on the public of what you think. It's public comment.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Vice President Gibson.
Pardon me?
Roll call.
Oh, okay.
Shouldn't this be something that's investigated by an independent counsel? You're going to have a couple people for and a couple people against, and you're not going to go anywhere. You might as well go out and beat your head against the wall.
So kind of do counsel do some research and come back and tell us?
I do not. I'm not comfortable doing that. That's not appropriate for me in my role as general counsel for the entire board.
Our turn to put something on the agenda. You guys do it.
Maybe just for some clarity. I mean, I don't know how to go about it. What's the proper clarity of what, if what Director Varney did, probably not purposely,
and somebody else maybe answered, probably not purposely. It wasn't me, I'll tell you that much. But
well,
if that is an example,
I'll tell you this.
I don't know.
A violation of the bylaws doesn't carry any penalty. And so this is not the same as a violation of the Brown Act, which is more significant.
So
I'm trying to understand and frame the motion to assist. And so I think is it accurate to say that Director Gibson has made a motion to agendize a discussion about whether or not another director, Director Varney in this instance, violated the board's bylaws. Is that an accurate summary of the motion?
Yeah.
Just in his doing, not in somebody else's responding.
I don't know.
Why would I be singled out as opposed to all directors? Certainly. Okay. I mean, or is this just a follow-up discussion on what you presented earlier to get clarification?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Right. No, this sounds more like a vendetta.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Can we move on? We're going to take a roll call. It's not a vendetta. It's
so right? It's been moved and seconded that we agendize a discussion about whether or not Director Varney violated the district's bylaws.
Vice President Gibson.
Yes.
Director Austin.
Yes.
Director Varney.
Absolutely not. It's a total waste of time.
And President Villa.
Yes, because I don't know where they're coming from. I think they just want clarity.
So we actually had Director Gibson start the meeting and had been running the meeting. And it looks like the gavel has no one left to hold it. We are still on future agenda items.
Yeah, I'd like to recommend that we agendize blight on Front Street for discussion and possible letter to the county code enforcement on behalf of the community.
The more we talk about land use and blight and all these things, we're wasting time and money.
I think we mentioned last time that is the county code enforcement, and anybody can turn it into county
code enforcement.
They will come out if you...
Code enforcement is ignoring people throughout the county, not just Oceano.
Have you called code enforcement? Have you written them a letter? Have you sent an email to code enforcement?
Is there
that's what people do.
The motion from Director Varney, I think there was a motion.
Yeah, there was a motion.
To discuss blight on Front Street and a response by the board to the county. Is there a second for that motion?
My second, just in case I'll do something about it.
Based on the board's bylaws, if there are two votes for, it will go on the agenda. No, I mean, I know we have the last two, and we could ask, is there any public comment on that issue?
You might be surprised. They might not change the coding, and they, you know, to tell them to leave or that they can't have that type of business going on, junkyard there. But, you know, I was thinking, even if they just put, like, flowers, like landscape, like tall geraniums just to cover the ugly junkyard and rocks and stuff that's there. Well,
the public could go to him as a group and ask him that. I mean, that's where I would start.
Well, I think it started.
It is now on the agenda. And is there any other future hearing item or future agenda item?
I have nothing.
Nope.
Don't think of anything.
So the next item, President Villa.
I guess closed session. Are we having that? Nope. Well, then.
To vote to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Oh, yeah, we have to take the roll call on that. I bet. I mean, so.
Mr. Barney?
Yes.
And President Villa?
Yes.